Where are all the children? Are you hiding? This is a special reading for you. Because Jesus here is talking about children very, very plainly. And I want you to really pay attention today and learn from Jesus how he looks on children and what he thinks about children. Our reading is very short because children are generally pretty short people. We're in Matthew chapter 19 and we're going to read verses 13 through 15. And even if you're just beginning to know how to read, you can follow along with your finger. We used to do that with our children when they were just learning how to read. We would sit in church with the psalm books and we would underline with our finger the words we were singing. And it's amazing how quickly they catch on and they begin to know the psalms and they begin to sing them, even if they don't know how to read well yet. And you can do the same thing with Bible reading. Point with your finger what you're reading. And you children, follow with your eyes. Even if you don't know how to read well, you're going to find you can recognize some words in here. Like Jesus. You'll find that. So let's give our attention to what God has written for us in Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 13. This is about little children. So even the little children can really pay attention. Then little children were brought to him, that is Jesus, that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. And this ends the reading of God's word. And I want you children to really pay attention, and you bigger children too. You know how valuable children are to us all. And we're each of us especially impressed with the importance of our own children in our own family. We make sacrifices for our children very willingly that we would not so easily make for other people. Because our children are very important to us. And some of you have asked God for children. Some of you are praying for children or for more children, and God hasn't yet given them to you, and that saddens you because you love children. And God is making you wait, or maybe God is saying no. Some of you have thought about adopting children, taking children that other people can't care for or don't want, and embracing them with your love and making them a part of your family. Some of you were adopted when you were children, and you know what a blessing it was to be taken into a family and loved and helped through life. Christians throughout this land pray every day for an end to the destruction of unborn children through abortion. And work to help mothers who are even thinking that they might go that way. And indeed, when we come into this church and other people have children and they bring them for baptism, we take vows together to pray for the children of the congregation. And we promise that we will pray and help their parents as they raise up their children. We recognize that the children, in one sense, belong to the congregation. In a country that generally distrusts and rejects the government management of just about anything, except the military, perhaps, we prize education. And we willingly pay taxes to support public education, even if we don't think it's the best. Because even with its deficiencies, we know that children are better off with public schools than with no place to go and no one to teach them. And we do this as a nation because we care about children. One of life's greatest tragedies is the loss of a child, either preborn or after birth. And we mourn even with neighbors that we don't know well when they lose a child. We despise terrorists and their violence, but we absolutely abhor terrorists when they kidnap a whole school full of children, as they did in Breznan, and as Elder Christopher Wright just prayed about. And we're angered, and we're repulsed by those who would abuse children in any way. And you know, one of the hateful things about war, and there are many hateful things about war, but one of them, and even about wars of liberation, is the killing of children. Whether it be by suicide bombers or by cruise missiles, whatever the means, we hate the idea that children are being killed. Because children matter a lot to people. All children. And to almost all people. And we see from this very short passage in Matthew's Gospel that the Lord Jesus places a high value on children. Jesus places as high a value on children as he places on full-grown, productive, and professionally trained adults. Why? Because Jesus doesn't think about children as a means of production or as commodities. You know, commodities are those things that you choose to have for your own desire and your own ends. And means of production are things that contribute to your wealth. And some people look upon children that way, but not Jesus. Jesus looks upon children as the creator of the children. He is the one who creates the children. And we learn in Colossians 1:16, by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Children too. And Jesus also looks upon children as their redeemer. And we can see this in verse 14, where he says, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus knew children well. And this is something that the disciples didn't appreciate. You notice how the disciples tried to keep away the people that were bringing the little children to Jesus. They didn't appreciate that Jesus knew children well and how highly he valued them. You know how quickly we forget that we were children. How quickly we forget that. And how we can know an awful lot about children if we think back on our own lives. And these disciples, you know, wouldn't think back. They wouldn't consider children. But Jesus knows a lot about children. Not only because Jesus creates children, but because Jesus lived as a child. And he didn't forget it. Now, flip back with me a little earlier in Matthew's Gospel, and you'll see what I'm talking about. In chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 2, and you parents can show your little ones with your fingers. In chapter 2 and at verse 8, we find that Jesus was attacked when he was a very, very small child. The wicked king Herod sent away these men from the east who were looking for Jesus. They were looking for the child that was supposed to be born, who was the Messiah. That's Jesus. He was born as the Messiah, the Savior. And the king said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him." But is that really what Herod wanted to do? Do you think, do you remember, was that what Herod wanted to do? Did he want to go and worship Jesus? No, he didn't. He wanted to find out where he was so he could go and kill him. Because he was a wicked king and he was afraid that Jesus would take his place. So Jesus was attacked when he was a young child. And if you go down a little further to verse 13 in that same chapter, you'll see that God sent an angel to Joseph, who was Jesus' father on earth, to warn him. And the angel said, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. You see, Jesus learned as he was growing up from his parents that these things had happened. These are terrifying things for the parents as well as for the child. The child didn't even know that this was going on. He was just a little tiny baby, smaller than any of the babies that we have in the church right now, except for the one we're waiting for to be born. So Jesus knew as he grew up that there were people in the world that didn't want him, that didn't like him, that wanted to harm him and destroy him. He knew what it was to grow up as an unwanted child, as the target of wicked men who would try to have their way with him. And Jesus knew this. But Jesus also was honored. If you look at verse 11 in that same chapter, you'll see that the men from the east that came looking for him found him, because God directed a star to point the way to him. And they came and they honored him. They brought great presents because they knew that he was a very special king sent by God to be the savior of the world. So Jesus also knew that he was honored when he was a young child. And Jesus was protected the same way that your parents have to protect you from getting hurt. You know, when you're about to run across the street and they call you back, or when something goes wrong or there's awful weather and they protect you. And so Jesus was protected too. His father Joseph heard the angel and he took him and he took the mother Mary and they went away. They left that country. They went to Egypt. So there he could protect his son. And so Jesus knew from his experience growing up and from the story of his coming into the world, he knew as an adult how important it is for a child to be protected and to be loved, because he had been greatly loved and he had been wonderfully protected when he was a little child. And he knew that. And you know, Mark, in the passage in his gospel where he tells us about the same incident where the people brought babies and young children to Jesus, he tells us that Jesus took those children up in his arms and then put his hands on them and blessed them. And you know what it's like when you're a little child and someone comes and picks you up in his arms. You like that, don't you? It's comfortable. It tells you that that person really cares about you. That person is willing to take you and hold you close. And this is what Jesus did with those children, because he knew that children love to be loved and want to be protected. And these children had come into the arms of Jesus and he took them. He was comforting. He was kind to these children. And Jesus, as he grew up, he also had all of the blessings that God had ordained for covenant children, for children that were born to families who knew the Lord, were in covenant with him. And again, if you turn to another gospel now, if you turn to Luke, and your parents can help you find Luke. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, parents. In chapter 2 of Luke, if you go to verse 21, you'll see that they took Jesus, and on his eighth day, when he was 8 days old, they had him circumcised. Now, that was the Jewish version of being baptized. People weren't baptized yet, because Jesus hadn't yet died on the cross and been risen from the dead and called all the nations to faith and sent the church out to baptize. So children who came into covenant families from the days of Abraham all the way through this time of Christ's, the boys were circumcised on the eighth day. And Jesus received that mark and blessing of the covenant. And a little later in chapter 2 at verse 27, we find that the parents brought Jesus to the temple because there was something that his mom had to do some 60 days after he was born in order to be right with God in worship. And there were purification rites. That's what they were called. And Jesus was subject to that. And they gave an offering for Jesus because he was the firstborn in the family. So they had to bring a gift and offer that gift to the Lord, because the Lord said all the firstborn belong to him. These were the blessings of growing up in a believing family. Just as you were baptized as a young child, because that's one of the privileges and the blessings that you have from God, that he identifies you as being among his covenant people. So Jesus knows what it's like to be in a believing family and to have the blessings of God on him in that believing family as he grows up. And we learn, indeed, Luke tells us in that same chapter in verse 40, that the child, and that's Jesus, the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And I can tell you, children, that every one of your parents prays this way for you. Every one of the parents prays that their children would grow strong in spirit, be filled with wisdom, and that the grace of God would be upon them. And so Jesus, you see, knows exactly what it is to be a child in a family that knows the Lord, and how he was given all of these blessings of growing up in a believing family. He knows what it is to be a child. He was a child, and he doesn't seem to have ever forgotten. Even though the disciples were great big busy men, and they didn't have time for children, Jesus had time for the children, because he knew what it is to be human. And you can see how Jesus helped children in so many ways all through his life and ministry. Jesus understood that when he helped children, he wasn't only helping a child, he was helping the whole family. You know, when your child is sick and you take that child to the hospital and the doctors work feverishly to help bring healing to that child, they're not only helping the child, are they? They're helping you. You're finding relief from all the concern that you have because your child is in pain or your child is suffering. And so it is with Jesus. And the disciples just somehow disconnected Jesus' ministry from children, from Jesus' ministry to everybody else in their family. But there are many places where we see Jesus helping children. And in helping the children, he is helping the parents, the family, even the whole community sometimes, the whole village. Jesus knows that it's not easy to be a child. He suffered. He was persecuted by nasty people. He was even chased by the devil later on. He knows that it's not easy to be a child. But Jesus also knows that it's not easy to be a parent. He knows that bearing children into the world and bringing them up requires sacrifice. And it brings pain. And it also brings a lot of joy. And he used this knowledge that he has to teach people about what it's like to come into the kingdom of heaven. He talks about that in John 16:21. He says, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she's given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. But there's the anguish, there's the pain that's there in the labor and in bringing the child into the world. And Jesus knows about this. So he knows that having children and bringing them up is something that is difficult and challenging. He understands this very well. And Jesus then included many children in his miracles. You find, if you look back just a couple pages from where we were reading in Matthew 19, in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 21, we find Jesus here had broken some bread and broken up some fish, and he had fed a whole big crowd that was out in the field. And notice, he fed children too, because we read that those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. He didn't pass around the bread and say, but don't give it to the children. They're not mature enough to have my bread at my picnic. No, he fed the children. And later on in chapter 15 and verse 38, he did the same thing again, another picnic. And this time there were 4,000 men, but there were also women and children. They were included in this miracle. And I think sometimes that as grown-ups, we think about Jesus' miracles and we think about his interactions with the grown-ups, because after all, you have to be grown-up to exercise faith in Christ. That's what we believe. But Jesus doesn't seem to do that. He includes the children. They're right there. They're part of what's going on. They're involved in the miracle and they're subject to it as well. In fact, in Mark's gospel, in Mark chapter 5 and verse 41, we read of a very specific miracle where Jesus came to a little girl who had died. A little girl. And he took the little girl by her hand and he said to her in the language that she understood, Talitha kumi. Talitha kumi. Well, you don't understand that, but she did. She understood that the Lord said, little girl, I tell you, get up. And you know what? She did. She did. He healed that little girl. He brought her back to life. That was a little girl. And in ministering to that little girl and in helping her, he helped the family, didn't he? In fact, he helped the whole village. They were all amazed when they saw what Jesus had done. There was another place in Mark's gospel where a parent comes to Jesus and very upset because a little girl had been taken over by a devil and they couldn't do anything about it. But they knew that Jesus could. Now, would Jesus have time to go and help a little girl that wasn't even there that he didn't know? Absolutely. And he did. And he prayed and he cast out that devil and he said to the mother, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. And he healed that little girl. There were times when a dad or a mom would come to Jesus with a sick child. There was one man that Mark tells us about, and his son was so taken up by devils that he was rolling on the ground and he was being thrown into the fire and he was being thrown into the water. And it seemed like this devil wanted to kill this child. And the people saw this child rolling on the ground and they were all upset and they were all excited. And Jesus was standing there and the people came running over. And Jesus said to the spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. And the little boy was healed. He did that to a little boy. And there are many other parents where he healed the children. He ministered to children. They were included in his miracles, very much a part of his life as he walked around in the villages of Galilee and Judea and all the areas around there. Children are precious and valuable to Jesus because children are people who are made in God's image. They are just as much in God's image as great big grown-ups, even big important grown-ups like apostles and pastors. These are the ones that Jesus cares for. The ones that he saves are get bound up to him by the covenant of grace in the same way as big and famous Christians. One way to think about it, brothers and sisters, is that there's no ageism in the Church of Jesus Christ. We honor the old, but we also honor the very young. Because Jesus does. And in fact, Jesus went even further than helping children. He took children and he put them right in front of big grown-ups. And he used the children as examples of how the grown-ups ought to be. Now, when have your parents done that for you? But he did that. And you can see it if you just go back one chapter in Matthew. We saw this just in the last chapter, Matthew 18 and verse 3, actually verse 2. Jesus called a little child to him And he set him in the midst of them. Now think about what that means. He took that little child and he picked up the little child and he put the little child right in the middle of this group of his apostles and disciples. All right? You think the child was scared? I don't think so. I think Jesus was very comforting to children. And he probably smiled at him. And he might even have explained, come to me, I want to show you something. And he put him right in the midst of them. And he said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. See, Jesus is pointing to a child as the finest example of simple, humble faith that is saving faith. Whoever humbles himself as this little child, he went on to say, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So children, you see, Jesus says, can be an example to grown-ups. Children can be an example to grown-ups, just as grown-ups can be examples to children. We're told as children to look to examples of godly people and learn to grow up like them. But Jesus says, yeah, but you grown up people, look at the example of a little trusting child. You have to be with me like Gracie is with her mom, like Eleanor is with her mom. You have to be with me the way that Caleb is with his dad. You have to be with me in a way where you trust me. You lean on me. You count on me. You have no doubt about me that I will keep my arm around you to protect you and to see you through any of the troubles that come your way. Now, isn't that the relationship that we prize with our children? And isn't that what our children respond to? Don't your kids love that when mom and dad just take you and comfort you and say, don't worry, I'll help you, I'll take care of it. And you trust them. Jesus says, that's how you have to be. If you want to be a Christian, if you want to really know the exalted Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the gracious, eternal one reigning on that throne of glory that we read about early in this service, then you have to become like one of these little children, he says. Humble yourself. You know, think about it. If little children don't deserve to approach Jesus, who does? Right? Now, we know they're not innocent. We know that they've inherited Adam's sin. And we know, any of us who have raised toddlers, that that sin starts showing up very quickly. But, you know, it also doesn't take a lot of reflection to notice that there's a lot of miserable sins that you did not experience until you were an adult, that these children have no knowledge about. The slate is clean. They're not tempted in the ways that you are as adults. Consider that load of iniquity, the unfaithfulness, the ungodly words and deeds and thoughts that you've had as an adult, that you've had to go to the Lord again and again with and say, forgive me, Lord, wash me, that these children know nothing about. See, so if they can't approach Jesus, who can? Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. This is what he says in Mark 10 and verse 15. And indeed, as Jesus comes into the world as the Messiah, we're told in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, as he quotes from the Psalms, he says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. And now here Jesus has made a transition, hasn't he? He's not only talking about the little children when he says the children whom God has given me, but he's talking about even the great big grown-ups like you and me who have trusted Christ as our Savior. We've all become children in the kingdom. And isn't it wonderful that God looks on us that way? That he looks on us as children in his kingdom. So that, you know, we don't have to solve it all ourselves. We don't have to understand it all. We don't have to have all the answers. We can go to our Father in heaven and say, Dad, help me. And he does. And he does. Jesus identifies himself as one of the children. He says, they're my brothers and sisters. Just as I am a child of the Father, so they have now become children of the Father in heaven. He identifies himself as a child, as the Son of God. And he brings blessing to the children. We read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, that inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. The children of God are partake of flesh and blood. We are born flesh and blood and spiritual as one. And so Jesus became one of us. He became a child. He identified fully with us so that he might destroy the power of the devil. God looks on all Christians as his children. And Jesus teaches us to look upon children as God sees them. Whoever receives this little child, whoever receives one little child like this, in my name, he says, receives me. In Mark's parallel, in Mark 9:37, he says, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. This is the fulfillment of a prophecy a long time ago in Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 11, where it is prophesied of the Messiah that he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. And this is what Jesus is doing here. The children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. And he welcomed them. He welcomed them. He said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them. And Mark tells us he picked them up and laid his hands on them. Jesus receives all kinds of people. Jesus receives sinners who run to him because they're afraid of the punishment that they're going to get for their sins. They've suddenly come to understand that there's a judge in heaven and they will face him and they are guilty and the punishment is so horrifying that they run to Jesus for help. Jesus also receives sinners who are full of faith and who are moved not by fear of punishment, but they're moved by his grace and compassion. And say, yes, this is the Savior I want. And they run to him for help and for shelter. And these people are all over the scriptures, aren't they? But Jesus also receives those who are tenderly brought to him. Those who do not yet know how much they need him. And who humbly and warmly embrace him with a very young shoot of faith. And these are these little ones. And he laid hands on them. And then he departed. He wasn't too busy to stop and bless the children before he left. He receives them kindly. He receives children lovingly. And he lays hands on them and consecrates them to his Father in heaven. This is a solemn ceremony for a Jew. The laying on of hands. It's an ancient Jewish custom for blessing. Jacob did that with his grandchildren, with Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. He laid hands on them and blessed them. Moses laid hands on Joshua when God set Joshua apart to take over from Moses. Jesus, in many places in the gospel, lays hands on sick people to heal them. He is not afraid to touch the leper. He lays hands on him to heal him. And here he laid hands on the little ones that were brought to him. And what did he do but to pray for them, right? They brought him to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. And how would Jesus pray for these little children? How do you think he would pray for them? Every indication that I see tells me that he prayed for the little children the same way that he prays for the grown-ups. He prays as he did in John chapter 17 and verse 24 when he said, "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." He took them up in his hands, in his arms, and he placed his hands on them and he blessed them. Now, this is wonderful, isn't it? To see a Savior, to see a God who is so mighty and yet so tender, so compassionate, so understanding of our human condition, because he came and identified with us, except for our sin, that he took upon himself later. Now, the blessings of Christ come to children in many ways. You children here in this church today, even if you're not Christians yet, you have many blessings from Christ through your parents. Because the blessings of Christ come to children through parents who bring them to Jesus. Some parents there brought their children to the Lord. Others didn't. Either they didn't think of it, or they were too busy, or they were too sick. Lots of reasons. Some of them had the attitude of the disciples. This Jesus is a big, important religious teacher. He doesn't have time for kids. Just keep the kids home, Mary, and I'll go and listen to what he has to say. But some of the parents brought the children to Jesus. They loved their children, and they wanted to see the blessings of Jesus placed upon their children. Parents, will you bring your children to Jesus? Will you do that? It begins in your home. It begins with the way that you provide nurture for your children. It begins by creating an environment at home in which the Spirit of Jesus is very present. And that spiritual environment will affect your children's spiritual desires as the children grow. Not certainly, but helpfully. Because we know that our God is a jealous God. But being a jealous God, he is jealous for his people. And the commandment tells us that he shows mercy to thousands of generations to those who love me and keep my commandments. And you bring your children to Jesus by beginning at home to keep his commandments and teaching them about the commandments. The blessings of the covenant included blessings on the children. In Deuteronomy 28:4, we read, "Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds," and so on. Begins with the fruit of your body. Your children will be blessed. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preaches, and he says, "The promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." God does work through families. And your home environment is so important for leading children to Jesus. It should be a place where the wisdom that is exercised is the wisdom from above that James writes about in James 3:17, where he says that the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Homes that are filled with true Christian faith and life, with the presence of the Spirit of Jesus, living with this heavenly wisdom, are homes that encourage children to look to Jesus and to go to him for blessing. And the blessings of Christ also come to you children through the church. The blessings of Jesus come from your family and through your family, but they also come to you through the church. The blessed family that we find in the book of Psalms in Psalm 128, that we all love to sing so much and that we all pray for in our own lives. That psalm ends with a blessing that comes through the church. It says, "The Lord bless you out of Zion," that's heaven, "and may you see the good of Jerusalem," that's the church, "all the days of your life." And that's why when you bring your little children forward to Jesus to be baptized in his name, the church asks you to the end that he or she may grow in the Christian life. You promise to pray for him or her, to train him to read the Bible, to pray, to keep the Lord's Day, to understand the nature of the church, the value of its worship and fellowship, and his need to seek communicant membership in the church. Because we understand that the blessings of Christ also come to the children through the church. And it's our responsibility, all of us as parents and as members of the body of Christ, to encourage the children to understand that the means of grace which Christ appoints in his church are for them, for their blessing, and that they might rejoice in these things. And we also ask you to promise to lead by your example, and parental discipline exercised in love, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in all the relationships of life. And it begins in the church for the children. And we have a collective responsibility. We commit ourselves to God to pray for these children and to help and encourage the parents as they raise them up, that they might go to Jesus, that he might lay his hands on them and convert them and bless them. And it also means that we have to maintain, as a church, children-level ministry. We have to maintain it. We have to develop it with enthusiasm, and it takes effort. And I just thank God that every year, God keeps laying on the hearts of a small handful of you to offer up time, early Sabbath morning, to teach the children. Some of you have been doing that for years. Others of you are doing it for the first time this year. And each of you is a blessing to the church. And you parents need to understand that these people have been raised up by God to bring a blessing of Jesus into the life of your children, so that your children might go to the Sabbath school class and receive that instruction that will complement what they're getting at home. Receive an understanding of what it is to have Christian fellowship with other children at a level they can manage, and to be encouraged. And this is why also we ask you to teach your children to worship. People come and visit the church, and I often hear the comment, "Your children are so well behaved." Well, you know, they're not genetic abnormalities. They're not. It's because we're training them. Because we know that our God wants our children to be trained to know him, to love him, to honor him, to respect him. And we teach them to worship. And you know, we give a lie to all of the social science and psychiatric research that says that children today have no attention span. Baloney. They have a long attention span when they're trained to pay attention and when they're drawn to things that move their souls. And isn't our prayer that the Word of God would move their souls? The blessings of Christ come to children through the family, through the church, and the blessings of Christ also come to you children when you begin to read the Bible and you meet Jesus on the pages of the Bible. When, you know, if you really like this passage, then when you learn to read and you can go and you can say, "I really like that passage, I want to think about it again." And you put your bookmark there and you go and you sit down in your favorite chair and you open it up and you read. "Then the little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray." And you know, you say, "Lord, every time I read that, I'm happy." Yes. You go and you meet Jesus in the pages of the Bible. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, "You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have come to know the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ." What a privilege God has given you children to be in homes where people read the Bible and they teach you to read the Bible. You know, that's how Sabbath school started. Sabbath school started by churches because there were children working in factories and they didn't know how to read. And that's what the Sunday school was all about. It was to bring in the children from the factory homes and teach them how to read. And you know what they started with? Not Dick and Jane, not some method out of the Chicago University School of Education or Harvard School of Education. They started with the Gospels and they taught them to read. What more valuable thing can you learn to read? The newspapers? The Bible. And that's what started it. The church did that. And you children are growing up in homes where everybody reads to you, where you're taught and encouraged to read, so you can go in the pages of the Bible and meet Jesus and let the Spirit of God put His blessing on you. May the blessings of Christ produce holy fruit in our children, brothers and sisters. May you cultivate and train your children for holy fruit. And children, it's not easy to grow up. It's tough. Some of it is fun, but a lot of it is tough. Because we live in a world where there's a lot of sin. And sin makes everything hard. But the sooner that you go to Jesus, the sooner that you go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, put your hands on me and pray for me and bless me." The sooner you say, "Jesus, I want to live with you. I want to be held by you. I want to walk with you. I want to learn from you. I want to live in a way that will please you." The sooner you do that, the easier it's going to be for you to grow up. Because it is great to grow up knowing a God that we can go to every time that we need help. When we've sinned, we know we can go to Him and ask for forgiveness and be turned around so that we stop doing these things. We can go to Him for wisdom to know how to handle the argument that we're just getting into. We can go to Him for help and knowing how to deal with that nasty kid down the street. We can go to Him to learn how we can honor our father and our mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it might be well with you all the days of your life. The sooner you go to Jesus, children, the more blessed will be your life, and the happier will be your parents. You know, even as big people, we have to wait sometimes. Sometimes we want to grow as Christians, and we're frustrated because it's just not happening fast enough. And we go to Him. We go to Him because we're children of God. The Word says that it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. We need to grow yet as children of God. This is in 1 John 3:2. We need to grow as children of God. It's a process. It takes time. We know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. One day we're all going to be glorified as Jesus is glorified. But there's a timetable that's not our own. And so it is with children. We long to see that fruit of righteousness and of faith in our children's life, but it doesn't always happen on our timetable. Sometimes it happens later. In my case, it only began to happen when I was 35 years old. And I was already the father of three children. How old are you? How old are your children? If you have living faith in our living Redeemer in your soul, then you can look into the future with hope and with confidence in the Lord's timetable, looking to Him and waiting for Him and all the while cultivating the fruits of righteousness in your own life. The promise is for you and for your children. Children, there's a promise from God for you. The promise is for you that God will bless you and will bless your households. And as you grow up knowing Jesus, you're too little to think yet of one day when you'll be married and have your own families. But God's promise anticipates that, goes ahead of it. So you can look to Jesus with trusting confidence and wait on him. The promise is for you and for your children. The promise is for the children of the church. Children are very valuable to the Lord. He cares about them and for them. They are holy seed. 1 Corinthians 7:14. If you don't know the children in this church, why don't you change your fellowship habits a little bit and get to know a few of them? Jesus says you're going to learn a lot from children. You'll learn a lot about what it is that you need to be like to enter the kingdom of heaven. So take some time to get to know the little ones. They love the care, the concern, and the fellowship. And Jesus will multiply the blessings. May his blessings be upon us all this day. May he lay his hands upon each of us for good. Let us pray. Lord, we are astounded at your compassion and your kindness and your care. Help us to be like you. Set our feet aright on the path of holy love and righteousness, and grant salvation to this body in every age. We pray that these children would grow up loving you, Jesus, just as you show that you love children and care about them very much. And we pray that you would give wisdom to all of the parents, that they would know how to love these children and how to set loving, godly examples for them. And we pray for those that are asking you for children, Lord, that you would give them patience, that you would give them confidence in you, and that they would be willing to receive your answers in your time. We pray for your comfort, for those that need comfort in this, and we pray for you to bless us, protect our children, and help us to love and cherish them as they deserve in your sight. And we pray, Lord Jesus, anticipating your blessings. Amen.